Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. Voice note. Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Point of View.
You connected with us.
Kaya959.
On the street.
On the air.
So we spoke yesterday about the court order that set aside the VAT hike, and we are still waiting for other things that the EFF and the DA also had applied to the court for. But obviously what this means is that a lot is going to change. We heard SARS commissioner saying, look, they really are asking that all the vendors make sure that even though they had proceeded with that increase, that they adjusted back again. People will be given grace to do that. But what we thought we needed to do is to just clarify what this then means for Parliament. On the line with us is Director of Parliamentary Budget Office, Dumisani Chanchis, on the line. Prof, again, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me, madam?
Yes, we can now hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much for that. We now have been ordered by the courts to, in a sense, start from the very beginning. What then? What processes will Parliament be embarking on with this order from the court?
Thank you so much. I think it's a very important, order that's set out. Mm. I think in our view, we do note the importance of the order. And really, we do say it has significant development with far-reaching implications for the budget itself, 2025 budget. But I think we do follow the discussions. The normal process will start. I often want to like starting by saying, at this stage, in terms of the budget process, the Public Financial Management Act does request the Minister of Finance to table the budget before the start of financial year. But also further says he can do the budget after the start of financial year in exceptional circumstances, and clearly when you look at what is happening, we are in an exceptional circumstance, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. will really place in the space around the finance minister's return the budget again after the start of financial year, and I think that will trigger the Parliament budget process in line with the Money Bills and Regulatory Matters Act, which really set out that we have 4 months before from the start of financial year, and which would mean April, May, June, July, to ensure that all the budget instruments are approved, finalized in this regard. So my assumption and understanding is that in a few weeks' time, the Minister of Finance will set out the budget, and the budget in itself will be set out in those instruments. Fiscal framework will still have to be considered by finance committees, and they do report given the same timeline in terms of the Money Bills Act, 16 days, and just in those process. So those process will really, the budget process in Parliament will be triggered by the retabling in terms of the order. Yes. Set out in the statement thereof.
Professor Chanchis, one of the criticisms that has come through is the allocated time for consultation with not just different committees, specifically when it comes to the fiscal framework, but also with other stakeholders, civil society and the like, that just hasn't been enough time allocated between the tabling of the budget and eventually when we get to the point where there is a vote taken, first of all, on the fiscal framework itself. Are we going to start adjusting those timetables and making sure that there is enough room in case there are amendments that are required to be followed through with?
Look, I think in my view, and when I look at the Act itself, when you look at the Act, it was amended in 2018, the Money Bills and Regulatory Matters Act. And one of the issues that was dealt with during the amendments, Madam Mutine and your listeners, was really around what you just raised now, to say there should be proper, sufficient time to allow the engagement on the budget once it's tabled, or by different budget instruments.
Yes.
And when you read the Act properly, it does say that to process a fiscal framework, and you have 16 days, but then says or any time after that is allowed, and specifically to allow further engagements in that regard. But I mean, my experience over the years, there has been time allowed for public hearing, for engagement and so on. But you are right, we are in an extraordinary circumstance where there probably have to be more engagement. But I think in this regard, and as I read a statement from the presiding officers of parliament, there would be sufficient time, they will allow sufficient time, they will adjust the program to allow the sufficient time. I think what I'm trying to respond is to say, in my understanding of the act, it does provide sufficient time. The question is, how that time has been used and can it be used efficiently to ensure at the end of the day we comply with the process that's set out in line with the constitution or processing the budget itself. Mm. So yes, there is enough time. The Money Bills and Later Matters Act does allow for that time to place in that regard.
To what extent is Parliament itself really looking at the court order itself, particularly with where it found fault with Parliament's proceedings, not only the proceedings themselves within the Standing Committee of Finance, but how the Speaker responded to queries? You know, is there going to be some introspection on that?
You ask me, that's above my pay grade. Remember, there has obviously been a statement issued by the presiding officers. Remember, our role is really to provide advice and analysis. And I think when I listened to the discussions that were taking place, even during the time, this is an extraordinary time, which, in my view, there has been a need to really have more consideration given the time. But I mean, I can't respond on that. I can go beyond what I've just said. But I think our role, we've made sure that in our support, we ensure that we provide sufficient information to allow all different kinds of conversation. For example, we did provide more information about different, consideration for revenue, for expenditure and so on, which should give Parliament more time. And I think we have committed ourselves to continue to do that, particularly with the revised budget, to provide as sufficient information that would enable the houses to really debate on the issues that would have been tabled by the Minister of Finance.
No. I fully appreciate your response in that regard. But the reason I ask this question specifically to you is precisely because of the point you make. Yours is to provide advisory services, and you have heard the criticism, sometimes quite derogatory, pointing to the fact that there are inept people in your offices. When I say your offices, I'm including your office specifically, but you understand that broadly speaking, people don't know what they're doing. People have been sitting there without understanding their role, and in other words, not even understanding what the rules are, what Parliament's bills stipulate. So the criticism, not only directed at the principals, but also directed at advisory services like yours.
Look, I think it's fair, but I think it's important to also, one of the things I've said over the years is that there need to be a lot of public education, a lot of South Africans understanding the processes and really knowing that every South African has got the right to ask, what is this? They've got every right to understand how the processes are, and what, who does what, and all of that. And I think, if anything, we have tried a lot as a budget office to really ensure that we provide that information as much as we can. But again, when we remember over the years, there's been a lot of concerns that Parliament requires more resources to oversight over government. So we can imagine that government is so huge. Budget of Parliament is very limited and has been called to say, look, ensure that Parliament has enough resources to ensure that the oversight is not compromised in any way, which this doesn't mean I'm saying that, but I'm just saying there has been demands to ensure that there's enough resources. Because, I mean, when we look at our offices, legal offices, other offices, very limited compared to how government is so huge. And again, these provisions are made in line with the Constitution, say, the ministry or the executive tables the proposals, and the role of budget of Parliament will be to amend. And then that requires the introspection to say how much capacity the Parliament needs to do the role and so on. And I think it's what I'm saying is it's not a short, easy question to answer, but it's really looking at holistically, systematically, say what can we learn from this, and how can we ensure that the oversight is not in compromise in any way. And one of the areas is ensuring there's sufficient resources available for oversight purposes in this regard.
Mm. Appreciate your time, as always. Thank you very much for explaining all of that to us. That's the Director of Parliamentary Budget Office, Dumisani Jantis.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.